few weeks ago, in my office, was working on some things, and the Lord drew my attention to a classic Henry Nouwen book called The Life of the Beloved. And as I was flipping through that book, the Lord was just refreshing some things in me, and I felt like He spoke to me that some of the points that were in that book would be a great backdrop for a corporate communion service. And I thought, that's a really good idea. And then I felt like He said, do it this weekend. So that's where we are. And over the last months, we've explored the ideas of presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. I've talked with you about loving God, the importance of loving ourselves, the call in our lives to love others, and the standard for all of those is as we have been loved by the Lord. And then last weekend, I began broaching deeper into this subject of choosing to be conformed to the transformation that comes through the renewing of our minds. The word conformed can be defined as to act in accordance with. So when we talk about being conformed to transformation, we're talking about learning to live and act in accordance with transformation, a radical transformation going on inside of us as God renews our mind and teaches us to think and perceive in whole new ways. The word conformed can also mean harmony. And I like that too, because to sing harmony, that means there's a melody that's being sung. You sing harmony around a melody. So we are joining ourselves to the melody that God is singing over our lives. And when we allow Him to conform us, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, we're singing with Him a beautiful two-part harmony as our lives join with Him and we join with the melody that He sings over us. Some other common synonyms are the word yield and agree and consent. And all of that can be reaffirmed every time we take the Lord's Supper. It's a tangible opportunity to experience a fresh communion with God Himself in a very personal way. And Jesus exhorted us, and Paul did the same, that every time we take the Lord's Supper, we should do it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Now, the normal pattern that we have here at Impact is to have the Lord's Supper elements available on the tables around the back of the room every service. When I first got here about 8 years ago, that was a little different for me. I'd not ever seen it done that way. I grew up Baptist, and we have our way of passing and doing that. And I'd been in other places where there's tables at the front, different things. I'd never seen tables at the back, and then just being free and available there every service. But I very quickly came to love it, because there's several things about it that I think are so cool. I love that it's available every service. I love that it's an opportunity that every time we come here, because the reason we come and gather in this place is to meet with the Lord, to experience Him. And you can experience Him in a lot of different ways, but it is such a profound thing to just take communion and remember Him as we do it. A lot of times, for me, I'll take it twice. I'll take it on Saturday night when I'm here, and then on Sunday morning with my family here gathered together, we take it. And I want to encourage you, you don't have to limit your partaking of the Lord's Supper to just services. This is something you can do every day in your house as often as you need to do it, to stir up and refresh our minds of the Lord and what He's done for us. I also have gotten used to it being in the back. Now, as kind of a worship leader, it was a little bit freaking me out when during the worship people were going to the back. It's like, no, you're supposed to be coming forward in the worship. Why are you going to the back? But now I've really come to appreciate that too, because it's an opportunity to still be in the room and yet step out and step into this intimate place with the Lord, either by yourself or with friends or family, or just gathered there together in the back and in the midst of what's going on, to sort of separate and step into that place. And I think that's a precious thing. I also like that we have it on the tables around the back of the room, because it affirms the priesthood of every believer. In a lot of religious traditions, it's only the ministers that give communion elements, and or the deacons or the elders or somebody with a title. But I want to again affirm that every one of us has been chosen and set apart for the Lord as ministers in the new covenant. Every one of us is set apart to be growing up and caring for people and serving in the house of the Lord. And so whether you have the title or not, I want to tell you that you are authorized and invited, commissioned and deputized to serve communion to yourself and to others. It's a precious, precious thing, and it's entrusted to us all. This weekend, we want to take communion and do it a little differently. some kind of a learning exercise and a demonstration that I felt like the Lord wanted us to do. We're going to pass the elements to you in your seats. They were joking with me saying, so we're going back to the Baptist way, huh? And yes and no, kind of, because I've never been in a Baptist church where they had real bread. We always had those little oyster crackers, or worse, the wafers things, you know. But we got real bread this morning and juice. But we are going to serve you in your seats. But before we do that, let me just give you some things to consider in your heart and your mind as we talk about that. And if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 26. I want to share just a common passage there, but highlight some things. As you're turning there, I remind you that this is in connection with the idea of not being conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Henry Nouwen's book, he highlights four key ideas. The first is taken, which also can mean chosen, blessed, broken, and given. All of these words are an affront to the pattern of the world. The pattern the world tries to enforce on us. The pattern the world tries to conform us. The world's pattern prefers to do the choosing, aggressively taking and being the initiator. The pattern of the world accentuates complaining and prefers to curse and fault find and condemn. The pattern of the world is keep a stiff upper lip. Keep yourself together. Don't show any weakness or do your very best so that people can't see that, which is why we are so conditioned when someone says, well, how are you today? We just say fine without even thinking about it. It doesn't have to be honest. Doesn't have to be true. That's just what you say. The answer to how are you today is fine, whether it's true or not. That's a pattern of the world that has conformed us. And the pattern of the world is also go get all you can. Get it all you can. Get it as cheap as you can get it. That's the pattern of the world. But we really have to pray because that is propagating a perverse and destructive sense of entitlement. And that sense of entitlement in our day, we really need to pray because it threatens to undermine all that God has done in our country. There's a generation being raised up that is afflicted with entitlement. And that's not how this nation was founded, and that's not how this nation will succeed and prosper. And it's an area that we really need to pray about. But it's the pattern of the world. That's the pattern of the world. In the upper room, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus established an ordinance that calls us away from all of that. And in calling us away from it, it reminds us of the importance of chosen, blessed, broken, and given. Look at verse 26 of Matthew 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. And then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine again from now and on until the day when I drink of it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out from the Mount of Olives. What had started as a normal Jewish Passover meal was transformed in a moment. And in so doing, Jesus laid a foundation of thoughts that we can experience that work to renew our mind every time we participate in communion. Jesus took the bread, and then he took the cup. It was deliberate. It was purposeful. It was intentional. And I want to say that every one of us here today has been chosen and taken by the Lord in the same way. Purposefully, intentionally, deliberately. Every one of us in this room is predestined to know God and to be known by him. We are chosen, every one of us, for eternal fellowship, chosen for life, chosen for freedom, chosen to be part of an active, ongoing relationship with God himself. We are all chosen. But then God also leaves the choice to us. Give thanks. The word is blessed in the King James. In the Greek, it's to speak well of. It's the combination of the word good and the word logos, which means something spoken. And every day, in the midst of the barrage of negative, destructive, deceptive, hurtful lies and thoughts that infiltrate our minds, there is a still small voice that speaks a radically different message. We were already singing it some this morning. And as we learn to recognize, as we learn to respond to God's voice, as we learn to receive and believe the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us, then the seeds of transformation and the renewing of our minds are sowed into us. They're watered, and eventually they're reaped. With his blessing to us, God defines and reveals our true identity. With his blessing, he softens us up. With his blessing, he increases our capacity to trust him. With his blessing, he builds our faith. And with his blessing, he grows within us a love for wisdom and understanding. And with his blessing, he prepares us for a phrase the Lord taught me several years ago called the freedom of brokenness. As he was teaching me this in a new way, he gave me a song that goes like this. There's a freedom in brokenness that many refuse to try. It so offends the mind and flesh to willingly choose to die. But the secret in dying is hidden in the seed. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, it misses destiny. Jesus said, whosoever would come after me must take up their cross and follow after me. And whosoever loses their life for my sake will find it again, past the sorrow. The song goes on to talk about pushing past the sorrow, embracing the cross, presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Listen, how we process sorrow is so essential to us growing up in our salvation. How we process sorrow is an essential part of us working out our salvation. And how we process sorrow is an open door to a depth of relationship with the Holy Spirit, because one of his names is Comforter. In the midst of sorrow and pressing through sorrow, there is an opportunity to get to know the Holy Spirit on a completely different level than we experience him when things are going great. When things are going great, he's the encourager, he's the teacher, he's the one that walks beside us. This is the way we walk in it, and life is going like that. And it's wonderful. Such encouragement, such wisdom, such revelation. But all of that is available in the midst of and pressing through sorrow as well. He is the Comforter. He draws near to the brokenhearted. He doesn't despise our weaknesses. And in fact, the Holy Spirit has given us especially for times like that, when life doesn't make sense, when it's not adding up. And there he is, the Comforter, saying, let me hold you. Let me speak to you. Let me sit with you. Let me wipe your tears. Stay with me. Press into me, even in your brokenness. Because brokenness qualifies us for exponential multiplication. Brokenness is actually what can make us real people. You know, the saying is, don't trust anybody who doesn't limp. No. Because the truth of the matter is, when we haven't been broken, we can be dangerous spiritually. Because our zeal can just get us out of control, and we have a pie-in-the-sky religion that doesn't actually work when life gets hard. But once we've been broken, there's this realness that can come into our lives. Sometimes brokenness makes people bitter, but it really can make us real if we'll allow ourselves to be trained by what God's doing in it. And as we follow Jesus' example in brokenness, we can choose, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Instead of, oh, Father, save me from this hour, this is too much, we can say the same thing Jesus said. It's for this hour that I have come. It's for this hour that I've been made. Father, glorify your name in me. It's the confession of brokenness when we're getting the benefit that God has in store for us in it. This weekend, we will literally break off some bread. It's going to come to you that way. And as you break off the bread, I want to encourage you to remember Jesus' body that was broken for us. But I also want you to remember that his body was broken by us. Because he was broken for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. And as we break the bread together, it's an opportunity to recommit to being sold out for the Lord, to embrace all that he has, all that he secured for us with his body broken for us, to embrace a pure and simple devotion to Christ. The brokenness is also easily recognized in the juice. We're not passing out this morning bread and then grapes. We're passing out bread and grape juice. And in order to get grape juice, you've got to squeeze and crush the grapes. And the message of brokenness is there. And a reminder of the blood that Jesus shed, blood of a new covenant, blood that secured our forgiveness, blood that purchased us for God, blood that gives us 24/7 confident access to the mercy and grace of God that's available at his throne. Brokenness that lets us recognize and confess, I'm in a time of need right now. And it allows us to go and meet with God in that place. And in the juice, there's also a reminder of a day to come, the great wedding feast of the Lamb of God. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Chosen. Blessed. Broken. And given. Given is the demonstration. Given aligns ourselves with God's heart expressed in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Given is a higher calling. Given is a better way to live. And it's the mandate that God has on our lives right now to grow us up, to mature us individually and corporately. This morning, the bread and the juice will be served to you where you're sitting. We're doing it this way this morning because I felt like God wanted to emphasize the message that it is his initiative that chose us. The only reason we knew to choose him is because he chose us first. The only reason we know to love him is because he loved us first. He is always the initiator. So this morning, we're bringing this to you as a demonstration, a visible demonstration that you are chosen by God. You have been qualified by God to receive from him his life and his blood. And so we bring it to you this morning with that picture in mind. Now, as the bread comes to you, what I'd like for you to do is not just take it quick and move it right along. We don't have to be in a hurry. I'd like for you to follow this pattern that I've just spoken to you about. Take it, bless it, and then break off a piece for yourself and pass it along to your neighbor. I'm going to ask you to hold on to it because we're going to partake of it together. Because where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, and that place is a commanded blessing. So we'll partake of it together that way. But as it comes to you, take it, bless it. Thank the Lord. And the blessing is good plus something spoken. So this isn't a mental thought. It's actually something that can be heard. So take the bread, speak a blessing, break a piece off, and then as a demonstration that it's not just for us, we give it. And we pass it along to our neighbor. Again, emphasizing that this isn't just about what's coming to me. What comes to me is to be passed along. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And he's a giver, and he calls us to that. As we wait and eat it together, it's a demonstration of the deference and the love that is part of practicing and living out all the different one another's in Scripture. The juice will be served to you the same way. So the bread will come, we'll pass it out, hold it, we'll eat it together. And then the juice will come, and it will be served to you. Those who are serving, I invite you to go ahead and come on forward. As the juice comes out to you, we're going to follow the same pattern. I want to ask you to take the tray. And as you take the juice, speak a blessing on it. And then you've got yours, and then you pass it along to your neighbor. Hold it, and we will drink it together. And then at the end, what we're going to do is, they sang a hymn on the way out this morning. This being 4th of July, we are going to sing a hymn, a prayer for our nation at the end. And then we'll have the ministry time and speak the blessing. So I'm going to go to the piano. I'm just going to begin to play. They're going to pass the elements out to you. Remember, take the bread, bless it, break it, and pass it along.
Let me burn with holy fire. Mark my purpose and desire. Set apart unto your name my life, my heart, my strength you claim. Now in your holiness I see intense desire calling me. Away from what possessed my soul, you have captured me and made me whole. Holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, I adore your glory. Now my eyes can see you're the King who reigns in majesty. Let me burn with holy fire. Mark my purpose and desire. Set apart unto your name my life, my heart, my strength you claim. Now in your holiness I see intense desire calling me. Away from what possessed my soul, you have captured me and made me whole. Holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, I adore your glory. Now my eyes can see you're the King who reigns in majesty. Holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, I adore your glory. Now my eyes can see. You're the King who reigns in majesty. Passion now I know is to a ruined world I go to kindle fire, spread a flame that will reveal your holy name. Holy, holy, holy God Almighty, I adore your glory. Now my eyes can see, you're the King who reigns in majesty. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, I adore your glory. Now my eyes can see, you're the King who reigns in majesty. Holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, I adore your glory. Now my eyes can see, you're the King who reigns in majesty. God Almighty, I adore your glory. Now my eyes can see, you're the King who reigns in majesty. one holy passion now I know. As to a ruined world I go, to kindle fire, spread a flame that will reveal your holy name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, I adore your glory. Now my eyes can see you're the King who reigns in majesty. You're the King who reigns in majesty. You're the King who reigns in majesty.
In the night that Jesus gathered in the upper room with the disciples, he took the bread and he broke it, blessed it, gave it to them, and he said, "Take it, eat it in remembrance of me." Now the juice will come out to you. With a broken, open heart, I come before you. With a broken, open heart, I reach out for your mercy. With a broken, open heart, I receive your grace.
With a broken, open heart, I come before you. With a broken, open heart, I reach out for your mercy. With a broken, open heart, I receive your grace. In the day of trouble, Lord, in the day of fear, you are my hiding place. You're always near. I cast all my cares on you, and you comfort me, and my soul is satisfied there. With a broken, open heart, I come before you. With a broken, open heart, I reach out for your mercy. With a broken, open heart, I receive your grace. With a broken, open heart, come before you. With a broken, open heart, I reach out for your mercy. With a broken, open heart, I receive your grace. Holding firmly to my faith with humble confidence, like the alabaster jar, I present to you my heart. With a broken, open heart, I come before you. With a broken, open heart, I reach out for your mercy. With a broken, open heart, I receive your grace. I receive your grace washing over me, filling me. With a broken, open heart, I come before you. With a broken, open heart, I reach out for your mercy. With a broken, open heart, I receive your grace. I receive your grace. Amazing grace, I receive your grace. I receive your grace. And Jesus took the cup. He blessed it. Gave it to his disciples. And he said, drink of it. Drink all of it. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And I won't drink this again with you until I drink it with you again in my Father's heaven. Drink it in remembrance of him this morning. I want to ask you to stand. I want us to join together and sing this song. Our nation is in an interesting time. And depending on what you hear, you may have varying thoughts about what's going on in our nation. But I want to tell you that I believe with all my heart that God's not finished with America yet. That there's a plan and a destiny that we have yet to fulfill as the salt of the earth and the light of the world.
And it's important for us who love the Lord to be calling out to Him on behalf of our nation, to be crying out for His goodness, to be crying out for salvation and the proper alignment with His ways and with His will. And let's do that as we sing this song this morning.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet who stern in passion stray, thoroughfare for freedom across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot dreams that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster city shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. America, America, God shed His grace to shining sea. Amen. Amen. God grant.